Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the fourth interview with Mr. Yusan Han on June the 24th, 1981. This is tape 6 by Sue Ellen Chan. Professor Han, when anyone in your family got sick, did they prefer Chinese or Western medicine? Or do you prefer Chinese or Western medicine?
I prefer Western medicine, especially in the form of surgery or something serious. But certain other aspects, I have a great confidence in Chinese herbs. They're slow, but they have their place.
Good. Uh-huh.
And also, here's a book came yesterday morning.
Oh. And enumeration of Chinese material.
Materia medica. This is a great book.
Oh, published
by the Hong Kong Chinese University.
Oh. Talking about Chinese herbs.
Beg pardon? All the Materia Medica, Ban Cao, has been a long Chinese, Japanese, Korean tradition.
Uh-huh.
I have an edition in Chinese, but published in Japan, 1793.
Wow.
And also made certain comments and corrections based on the congressional edition, I mean, of the Japanese library. This was
This is like an English translation, or?
And also it has the scientific terms and the English edition and the Chinese names. This is much better.
This is great, yes.
So no wonder they cost a little more, but it's good.
Do you still, sometime apply the Chinese medicine to different?
No, I have never used it except ginseng and at certain health or strengths, but I still have my doubt. And from childhood I heard that ginseng or ren-shen, you cook the juice and the person is dying. You give the sick person, the dying person, with the ginseng juice. His life will prolong hours or days. So the relatives from distant areas, by mule cars, by boat, or by walking, could see the last breath of their relatives. So I heard that was true. And also, I have a young friend in Hong Kong, whose father was my student, and he has been a good friend and sent me this, sent me Yunnan ham from mainland China, or this ginseng from Korea and from China.
So,
as a whole, I go to the Western medicine, as I have just come back from UCLA Dental Group, School of Dentistry. And also, I refer to my Japanese family physician, Dr. Seno. So, all Western medicine.
But how about when you were young, did you ever use any medicine-oriented food at home? Like your mother would cook
Western.
Something?
Prior to 1917, I was 18 years old. I had no knowledge, no opportunity of using Western medicine. But 1917, I contracted the malaria due to the mosquitoes, I suppose. Then a friend of mine introduced me to the London Mission. The doctor, they called him doctor, as we always do in China. After a few years training as nurse, nursing training, or I started a medical school, but didn't finish. But this Dr. Wong of the London Mission did me great good. I appreciate that. He gave me medicine against malaria, and also he used a kind of liquid given to me called, in Chinese, called 铁酒. Not a wine, but a liquid with iron in it, just like today, the iron sulfate tablets. So that built me up and cured my malaria. So my family and myself were very grateful. And
since then you
started the Western medicine.
But when you were young, did your mother ever cook, you know, like something, chicken with the Chinese herbs?
Oh yes. That with the medicine was cheap. Mm-hmm. You buy the medicine pot for a few coppers. You get the herbs for 20 coppers, and you pay the doctor 20 coppers. But the effect may take 2 days, 4 days, 5 days, a week, or nothing.
Uh-huh.
So that's our experience.
I see. But after you left home, did you ever sort of cook this
Chinese herbs? No,
uh-huh.
No. After 1917, I began to put my full faith in Western medicine, especially the winter of 1917 or the spring of 1918. I was quite sick in a high school, and a family who had been trained in Germany. They are one I call uncle or godfather. He was in the Foreign Office as a bureau chief of German section. His mother, I call grandmother, sent Dr. Dieper of the German hospital to the school to see me and gave me medicine.
Mm-hmm.
All the fellow students says, "Wow, who are you? What are you? You are a poor student.
Mm-hmm.
How a German doctor came to see you, give you medicine, and also with a servant brought you a woolen long gown and some food." So that was reinforced for belief in Western medicine.
I see.
This German doctor came just once, and he gave me medicine, and I was steadied and found it quite healthy and worked.
Yeah, I think that's probably. Yeah, I mean, you come into America, you probably even didn't have much chance to
use Chinese
medicine. Yes.
See, from 1941, after we came back, I had appendectomy that I could not trust, count on
Chinese
herbs.
Right.
Then Edna has arthritic attack, 11 weeks in Good Samaritan. Western doctors in general medicine and the bone specialist, John C. Wilson, and Dr. Tholen and Dr. Eames of USC, professor of dentistry, and took care of Edna on the infection of her teeth, which caused the poison of her arthritic problems. After the dental operation, the poison reduced within 24 hours, 50%. Later, this reoccurred a little bit. Then she spent a month in Loma Linda Hospital, Loma Linda University. Dr. John Peterson, the dean, took care of her for a month. So she was entirely cured of arthritic problems.
Good.
Since that time.
Yeah, in terms of recreation, did you or your wife prefer the Chinese thing like mahjong and Chinese movies, or you prefer Western recreation like go to the ball games and American movies or any others?
Well, our interest and our situation, our temperament, background, kept us mostly at home, to go to movie houses, to go to ball games, are rare occasions. And then
Chinese?
We have color TV, television, we have radio, and we have a big yard to plant flowers, to take care of them. That's our recreation.
Mm-hmm.
Also, later we found a second home in Malibu Mountains,
mm-hmm.
where we have all kinds of flowers, trees,
mm-hmm.
and animals,
mm-hmm.
foxes, deers, not as deer. My English came back to my high school days.
Uh-huh.
And so that's, these collective nouns pose a problem for Chinese.
Uh-huh.
Why deer, you don't use plural?
Uh-huh. Right, right.
So we had that as recreation. So we went with friends at invitation. We took friends out to mostly, if anything, Chinese special. We went to a Penji Judy show, whatever,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a shadow play
mm-hmm.
called Red Gate Players.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this was the greatest propaganda for China.
Mm-hmm.
Inspired people to see the humor, the love stories, like the cowherd chasing after the goddess, moon goddess, the July 7th and the 7th celebration,
mm-hmm.
or the August moon, or the 15th of August,
mm-hmm.
how the rabbit in the moon,
mm-hmm.
and all this had played out 2 hours. We enjoyed it.
That was back to when?
Just about 1947 or 48. We took friends, they continued to refer to those highlights.
Ah, uh-huh.
Of course, we went to the story, as I mentioned before, at the invitation of President Johnson, the greatest story ever told. That's one we went to a motion picture. And then the other one was the South Pacific. Some friends took us. Oh, it was a great treat.
Mm-hmm.
We went to many of these. Even the pictures where I participated as advisors,
mm-hmm.
an advisor. But I did not stay to see the
product or
final. Or you know, the final the show in
uh-huh.
the evening.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, I saw this acted
many times
out during the daytime. There's no use to waste time. I call it waste time.
Uh-huh.
Some friends thought you forgave your opportunity,
uh-huh.
but as a whole, we feel life serve longer by concentrating on things you do believe, you do cherish, and rather than just follow the crowd.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How about, do you play any Chinese games, like
Chinese
mahjong?
Games. Mahjong we played a few times, but not often. Only Chinese guests
uh-huh.
who came here, and we played just to feel we want to be really hospitable.
Uh-huh,
hospitable.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, okay. So did you write to your relatives and and friends in
well,
China?
Well, after 47, I did not write anymore because my last letter, 46, General William T. Clement handed it over mm-hmm. to Dai Li. Under the Nationalists, he was the Edgar Hoover. But his plane crashed, so the letter after a half a year, returned to me saying the foreground is unclear, cannot mm-hmm. be reached. Mm-hmm. That means the communist occupation of partial part of my old home, so to speak, south of Baoding Fu. Mm-hmm. So I did not correspond, though I corresponded with some people in Shanghai, in Peking, just to get books mm-hmm. and to pack up some of my books from St. John's University to ship to this country.
Mm-hmm. So when your parents still living, I believe you wrote home.
Oh yes, I wrote home once a week. Mm-hmm. And also I can sense my mother and I are closer in the sense I could feel mentally what her health condition was. Mm-hmm. Each time came true. That's mental telepathy.
That's good. Well, earlier, I think I asked about, you mentioned about that you joined the different clubs, like a Chinese cultural,
China Society of Southern California,
and
the Harvard Club,
of
Southern California.
Okay, is there any other organization?
And also the, that's all professional, American Society for Legal History. And AAUP, American Association of University Professors, and let me see. I never joined the faculty club of UCLA. That's people just couldn't believe, but couldn't understand.
Well, why you
because
choose not
I
to
join? I do not believe in eating lunch there. Or dinner there, and I sensed a few times I was guests. Two members of the faculty club, a lot of politics and gossip, mm-hmm. which I don't care. I don't want to get anywhere by just a glass of wine or a dinner there. Mm-hmm. If I'm worthy, fine. But anyway, I feel home is important beside your profession where you get there by 8:45, at times come home for lunch, mm-hmm. then have a class at 2 to 4. Mm-hmm. And then later years have a seminar Monday 7 to 10. Mm-hmm. So I feel with all graduate students especially, or those who are interested in Chinese art, Chinese literature, Chinese philosophy, they're always welcome to come home. I spend a lot more time with students at home mm-hmm. than with the faculty members at the faculty club.
Uh-huh, I see. How about any Chinese association, like family associations or district associations, although those are mostly from Canton, province.
Yes, yes.
So
the Consolidated Benevolence Society or
Association.
They are the business, the leading Chinese, all from generations from Canton. Mm-hmm. I don't commend the language of Cantonese, though I have many friends like Y.C. Hong, the attorney, and Barbara Wong's family, and a number. But the closer ones are the ones who are from the Yangtze River Valley group, and also possibly from Fujian province, like Dr. Theodore Chen, or Elmer Chao, I.L. Chao, all from Hangzhou, Nanking, Shanghai, and the Yangtze lower delta.
Uh-huh, I see.
So I associate with them quite quite often.
Uh-huh, I see.
Albert Kwong, I must mention him.
Yes. Well, which were the most important families in Los Angeles? You would say, especially before World War II.
Yes. Well, I think Albert Kwong and Lily Kwong they serve great purposes. When Chinese Air Force personnel were stationed under training in Santiana, they entertained them, the Hans entertained them, and a Hindu family, the Sharmas, Dr. and Mrs. Sharma, entertained them. And sometimes at our house, they have to sleep on the floors. Mm-hmm. But we had a good visit, good food, and a good time.
Mm-hmm. So they will be their families, and also, of course, your family. And is any other family that you think mostly, you know, mentioned by the Chinese or by American community?
No, I think Albert, with the man, with the business group,
uh-huh.
quite popular, quite influential.
Uh-huh.
Lily has entered into many clubs.
Uh-huh.
The Beverly Hills Women's Club,
yes.
The Friday Club, Friday Morning Club, I guess, and a number of clubs,
mm-hmm.
the Chinese Women's Society.
Mm-hmm.
She covers both Chinatown, Beverly Hills, and Los Angeles as a whole. We often said to Lily that you mustn't give yourself too much. And perhaps that's one of the reasons she died young.
Mm.
And
that's sad.
Oh, she sponsored many things. Oh, another family I must not forget.
Uh-huh.
Dr. and Mrs. Henry Lee. Dr. Lee, MD.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, Celia,
mm-hmm.
Daughter of highest respected jade expert. And the jade pagoda was by her father,
mm-hmm.
which took how many years to carve and to complete. And then he discovered certain Wyoming jades. Later, the Formosa jade, the Wyoming jade, he made a number of Chinese earrings. From him,
Wyoming.
We acquired a few sets. We gave friends, they just thought was wonderful production. And also Celia Lee, Lily Kwong, even Gloria Ni,
mm-hmm.
And us, we entertained the artists from China, demonstrate in our homes and exhibit in our homes, and so as to promote their sales and for their income, especially in the early years, they needed such. Then when the leading artists like Zhang Shuji, Huang Junbi,
mm-hmm.
and Wang Jiqian,
mm-hmm.
and Zhang Bihan,
mm-hmm.
all these came, the initial needed introduction.
Yes.
So Dr. Van Kleinsmith and I sponsored a big demonstration and exhibit at the Ebel Club. Unfortunately, that revealed the true character of the professor of art at Pomona College.
Oh.
He did not have a PhD,
mm-hmm.
but he registers as with a PhD. Pomona found that out. Later, he was dismissed.
Okay.
He was the chairman of this, promoting Chinese art. I felt very bad. This one thing which is untrue that crippled a man for life. He was much younger than I.
Is this a Dr. Van? This is another one.
This is chancellor for USC who sponsored the thing.
Yeah, okay.
And the Hans Van Kleinsmith, the consul general, and his wife, Wise Jiang.
Yeah, okay.
Jiang Yisheng.
Yeah, how do you spell Kleinsmith?
Van Kleinsmith.
Uh-huh,
later
Kleinsmith.
I have to
okay,
find
later.
This. Yes.
Okay. So, you have sponsored these art exhibits. So, well, you mentioned about Albert Kwan as individual,
yes,
and some others, and
some Americans are sponsors and promoters for Chinese understanding, for Chinese appreciation. One was Mildred Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Mildred Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of the three artists honored by New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Her etching was famous with a Chinese touch.
Mm-hmm.
Her book illustrated on Tibet, which was authored by Elizabeth Keith, whose paintings are color prints, have been valued by Queen Elizabeth, I guess. So Mildred Brooks was one of the China's friends. The other one was Laura Andreessen of UCLA, whose ceramics also received the highest award from all U.S. One was Dr. Lucan from USC, Laura Andreessen, UCLA, another one I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are friends of China, both from UCLA and USC. That added a great deal to the color of China, which is important, and cultural background, art, ceramics. So that was quite an interesting period I enjoyed and appreciated.
Would you say that was because of the World War II and raised the interest of American general public in Chinese
culture?
Yes,
I think so. Prior to that, you could hardly find a whole column on China, except in the Christian Science Monitor. When the Pearl Harbor happened, then large space had been given to China.
Mm-hmm. But how long was this attention given to Chinese
Well, from 1941,
culture?
Before that, attention had been given.
Mm-hmm.
Admiring China's resistance from 1931, Jiuyiba, September 18th, Japanese occupation of Mukden, Manchuria, to the Marco Polo Bridge incident, July 7th, 1937. Then the United States sees the transfer events. They began to see China in the future will be on the American side, especially after the formation 1940, the tripartite alliance, Nazi Germany, Mussolini, and Toto. So the boosting of China, this came ahead.
Did it last very long after the war?
Even before the war ended, America began to ship to a certain extent, that is, diminish the cherished ideals of China. As one Chinese girl student or co-ed from UCLA gave a lecture in the YWCA outside of the campus, he said, well, during the first few years of the war, we suddenly became angels. After the General Stilwell episode, we became devils. So that indicates the feeling of the students, including myself.
It seems like now started again.
Yes.
Again,
yes, because of the, frankly, anti-Soviet expansion in Southeast Asia and throughout the world, in Latin America. So China may again be in the front.
So basically, Chinese are riding with American politics is
quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
Quite a bit.
Yes. Oh, I still have something. So what kind of jobs were most Chinese engaged in before World War II?
Before World War II?
Yeah. Not many of Chinese.
Chinese were still farming, though Japanese had taken away quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But the Chinese vegetables and fruit, they still, with wagons coming around different parts of the city, made a good living. Mm-hmm. People relied on them, and afterwards I didn't see those wagons, but the friends told me, oh, how they cherished those people, and they were honest, they were so good, and brought the real stuff, vegetables and fruit.
These were the comments from American friends.
Yes, from the American friends, like Dorothy Russell and Mansfield Reed. They were descendants of among the first superintendent of schools. Mm-hmm. And when they were kids, they were living on Broadway. That was not a downtown business. So.